Hey, listeners. Curtis here. Just want to let you know that I've preemptively warned Cameron. No loud screeches, no alarm noises, no ambulances, no applause, no hallelujah chorus, no Katy Perry, none of that. We're all about business here on the Spike Feed, so let's get into it. Welcome to the Spike Feed, your leading Magic the Gathering podcast. What is up? My name is Curtis, and I'm just your typical Spike. On the line with me, bursting, beaming through the video feed, my good buddy, MTG producer extraordinaire, Cameron McCoy. What's up, friend?
Dude, gush. It's restricted. Hallelujah, right?
Yeah, there's actually quite a bit to talk about in terms of vintage.
Yeah.
You know, like usually with the show, we talk about our weeks. You and I have both just touched Amonkhet a little bit, but we don't really want to bury the lead. So we're just kind of going to jump right into the BNR list. This kind of become a thing with us is the BNR show. then we'll talk about some of the other announcements. Really not a typical format show for us, but man, we've been waiting a while. I don't know when we started talking about Top needing to be banned, but I mean, the show's been around for 3 years and change. It feels like that whole time, right?
I was going to say, about the time I started playing Legacy, I think that's when it was like really creeping in as the dominant control deck. Because I mean, when I first started playing, it was really Esper Stoneblade still was like the deck du jour, especially with True Name Nemesis getting printed. But yeah, Miracles just really took the cake.
So, yeah, so we should just say, just in case this pops into your feed, you have no idea. So, Sensei's Divining Top has been banned. Standard has no bannings. Modern has no bannings. I'd say the Modern news is kind of not a big surprise, right? I think everybody feels like while there's some changes that could be made here and there for the sake of just kind of tuning the format, it's pretty much at equilibrium. Standard we're going to get into, so don't worry if that is really grinding your gears, because we'll certainly talk about it. And then some things happened with Vintage, but both Cameron and I aren't really equipped to talk about that. And both of our Vintage listeners probably have very strong opinions on it already. Right? But Legacy is our jam. I mean, we talk a lot about Legacy. We talk about all three formats, of course. But I mean, Cameron, you've gotten to the point where you play basically Modern and Legacy exclusively. Boy, where to start? So, you got the news. What was your first reaction?
Yeah, it was a little surprised. I mean, I was really expecting like Death's Shadow. Actually, that was going to be like the thing that we were going to talk about, because we put the show on hold for a day, and I was like, okay, what's actually going to happen? And really, I thought they're not going to give any love to Legacy, and so I thought Death's Shadow was probably the next card that's going to be on the chopping block that I thought was obvious. But yeah, Sensei's Divining Top. I was I'll just say I am pleasantly surprised. Miracles, well, it's fine to play against. It is probably the least fun deck to play against in Legacy, just because of the oppression of the counter lock that happens with Sensei's Divining Top and Counterbalance. Like when that happens, and it can happen as quickly as turn two sometimes if you're unprepared for it. it can just be oppressive. And not only is it oppressive, where like it's not like a turn two storm play where the round has ended or whatever, or the match has ended. It can effectively just go on until they find their kill condition, right, or their wind spell. I mean, sometimes you don't see a Jace, or you don't see the Monastery Mentor or whatever they're using to finish you off with until much later in the game. And so it going away, I think I'm fine with. I have a lot of people at the shop, we were talking about this. It does affect certain other decks, you know, namely like Painter's Servant, Bomberman. And yeah, it is kind of a shame that those two decks that, you know, are not nearly as competitive or tier wise, you know, in the top tiers, it's, you know, it's a shame that, yeah, they lose one of their tools, but you know, that's what happens. I mean, Jataxian Probe did the exact same thing with Modern, and it's actually been probably for the best. So who knows? This is good for the format.
I think it's the best news Legacy has had in a long time. Feels like we've had 2 years worth of bad news, right?
Yeah.
It's felt like being a Cleveland Brown fan. Just nonstop bad news all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to have something to look forward to, even if you're one of the people that thinks that nothing should have happened. I think you can agree it's going to shake up the format in a major way, in a more interactive way, and be more engaging, more interesting. So before I kind of get into, because I do have like, I wrote my Curtis page of notes like I tend to.
Yeah.
About like what decks I think might improve, might not. And that's all kind of me shooting from the hip. Obviously, I haven't tested because Top's been banned for like 7 hours.
Yeah, right.
So, but I want to just kind of clarify, because the reactions I've seen have been a little strange. So there's kind of a three-pronged reason, I should say, for why Top had to be banned. So first of all, the deck has been better, the best deck in the format, longer than any deck has been the best in the history of Magic. Think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
Right? I think by most metrics, you could say it's been the best deck by at least 2 years, but it's more likely three.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's absurd. Absurd. Right? And WotC has pulled the trigger on, you know, vintage stuff much more quick. Like Workshops has had, I don't know how many items restricted out of it in a matter of it being at the best deck in months, right?
Mm-hmm.
Modern is, you know, they've obviously had a roller coaster ride of a BNR history there, but it's been the best deck. Right now, I think it's sitting at like 15% of the overall meta. Good luck finding a GP or a Star City Classic that it hasn't top aided. Now, when people tell me things like, well, there's not six copies. Guys, Legacy is a different ballgame. People don't have all the decks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is still a guy that's going to show up to this Winamox or Winalotus that we're going to play at. He's going to play Goblins, okay?
Yeah.
Like, because he's had Goblins for 8 years. Like, you cannot, it's not standard. You just don't have the accessibility. And some people, frankly, aren't willing to put themselves through playing Miracles or the Miracles Mirror or the ever-dreaded Miracles versus Lands ultimate fun time, where you get to play not only the game, but the sub game of how much audience will surround this match while they wait for time to go. Which brings us to reason number two.
Mm-hmm.
Time. It's not just the Miracles Mirror. And I kind of hate this whole, well, you know, if you've got the right pilot. Well, guys, it's not always the right pilot. You know, yes. Fantastic. If they're all Joel Lissette, it's great, but that's not what happens, you know? And frankly, even experienced pilots can go to time with it. And this whole notion that, well, if there was an MTGO clock in real life, like if you're playing a deck that has Force of Will or Stifle against a Miracles player, it is one of the most frustrating endeavors ever, because you're constantly, you're like, you just can't F6, right? Mm-hmm. Or if you do, you're going to miss something. So timing, and I mean, you and I have both been to tournaments where we have waited forever for Miracles turns, right?
Yeah.
And the last thing that nobody's going to talk about that I've mentioned time and time again on this show, it is a real opportunity to play underhanded Magic. You're manipulating the top of your deck over and over and over again. Now, I'm not saying Miracles players are cheaters, but more than any card in the history of Magic, the opportunity to inappropriately load the top of your deck. It just is, mm-hmm. right? And so, I mean, there's a lot of opportunity. When Preordain was in Standard, we had a lot of problems with people cheating or scrying too many or this kind of thing. I mean, how often in the middle of a Miracles match do you just make sure your opponent picked up three?
Right.
After they've topped the 17th.
Because, you go into like this gray space where you're blanking everything out, right?
Yeah, right. And it's just, I mean, it's a scary thing because you feel like you always have to be on your endgame. So those are the reasons that I really feel like it had to go and why it's not in Modern, you know? Cameron, do you have anything to add to that? I wanted to get that out of my system.
I agree with everything you said. I'm kind of curious. What do you think this does, though, for, I mean, obviously it was oppressive in Miracles, but I mean, it was like a legit tool in something like Bomberman, which is kind of like this, you know, up-and-coming, I wouldn't know, say up-and-coming, but, you know, it's like one of these new kind of decks with Walking Ballista that it's kind of a shame and a little bit that, you know, this key tool is being stripped away from it. I want your thoughts on that.
Well, I think it's the price you pay. Now, look, all these decks could play something else. Right. For example, Nykvit sometimes plays top and it could just play Sylvan Library. Right.
Yeah.
Is it as good? No. But there are options. It is not like this is the only look at the top of your deck card. Right. It's just by far the most efficient, the most oppressive, the most time consuming. Right. I've seen some people say, well, just play Crystal Ball, you know, which is like a scry engine, you know. So there's all these different things that you can do. Like, I mean, I hate to break it to you, but Miracles is not dead. Now, is it tier one?
Yeah.
No, not even close. But it can still exist and still, you know, be a thing. But going back to reactions, like I've actually heard and seen people, and maybe this was just knee-jerk reactions, some people actually saying, no, Miracles isn't even the best deck. And I just think, what format are you playing?
Yeah.
Like that is just, by almost every single metric you can possibly come up with, it is the best deck, right?
I tend to agree. Yeah, I mean, like, I've played against it enough to know that even an unskilled pilot with the right card draw, I mean, they can very easily lock the game up, and they have to be very, very poor. I mean, like, it's good in the sense of, like, I can get the countertop lock, right? Mm-hmm. But getting to the next point of, like, actually winning the game, sometimes that doesn't always happen with those pilots, right? So, yes, it is the best deck, I would argue.
Yeah, and, like, look, man, the complaining and moaning from players that, like, oh, I just bought, or I've had Miracles for a year. What do I... Dude, you have the Tundras and the Force of Wills.
Mm-hmm.
Buy another lake. Like, there are... Go get your rear end down to the store, pick up some Stoneforge Mystics. You're good. Like, you have the expensive pieces.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, it's just like Modern. It's an analog to Modern. Like, how many times did somebody buy into Birthing Pod or Splinter Twin? It's like, those cards are still good in other decks, or people will find ways to build them, right? The Stoneblade player right here, I mean, like, I don't want to play against other Stoneblade players. I like being the lone bad Stoneblade player in the shop, but... I mean, it's a perfectly good deck. Blue-white. Do it.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, if you have Tundras and Volcanic Islands and Scalding Tarns and Flooded Strands, and you're sitting around going, what do? Like, I just don't have any sympathy. Like, what are you talking about? Buy another... I mean, what do you have to buy? A Jit? Some Stoneforges? You're set.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. I mean, because the tops and the counterbalances together, what was that? Like, $130 of that deck?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I mean, I'd have to crunch the numbers. I mean, somebody's going to send me a message like, tops are actually. But, you know, it's not the expensive piece of the deck anyway, so whatever. And like I said, you could still brew a Miracles deck. There's plenty to work with there if you're really that committed to it. Now, let's talk about what this does to the format. If right now you are a combo elf player, stop what you're doing, go out to the middle of the street, and start doing some cartwheels. Like, this is the best news possible for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
That matchup was not good for you. Well, I think that's being charitable, right?
Yeah.
And you're probably pretty good against the rest of the format now. So I like where Combo Elves is at. As a Maverick player, that scares me a little bit, but it's true. Like, they're in a good place. Now, look, the other deck that I would mention here is Storm, but I think it's really easy to overstate how good Storm can be right now, because the other decks that I have listed are Shardless and Death and Taxes. And Death and Taxes in specific, I think if you're an outsider looking in at Legacy, you would go, oh, ad nauseum must just destroy Death and Taxes, right? And the reality is, if you're a Death and Taxes player and you lose, or if you live through the first two turns, you're probably going to win the game. Like, especially the post-board games. And that's been my experience with Maverick, too. Yeah, like, you get turned one all the time. But past that, once you get in the actual hate, they have a really tough time. And I think Death and Taxes and Shardless are going to be back in a big way. Are there any decks, Cameron, that you think really stand to benefit?
No, you know, I mean, I'm trying to think of, like, what is going to be the premier control deck now, right? Is it going to be lands? Lands, I think, is, like, still, probably still the next obvious option as far as, like, a control deck. But I really do think that we might go back to form with, like, a 2011-era Legacy, which means that I think Esper Stoneblade is probably the next in line for being your control deck, right? So that's, I mean, I'm actually hopeful that that Stoneblade might see some sort of resurgence. But I could be completely wrong on that. Yeah, but I agree. I think Storm also stands to benefit from this a lot.
Yeah, to your point, like, let's talk about control for a second. Because now that all these possibilities open up for you, I think we would both agree that lands is currently tier one, and it's still going to be tier one, right?
Yeah, it's still
going to be. Its only truly terrible matchup is Storm. Like, everything else, like, if you have creatures, it has some kind of game against you. I would argue something like Combo Elves might be a little too fast for lands. You know, that's kind of a 50-50 shot. It just looks really lopsided when lands wins, because those games go on for like 30 minutes. But if you're the Elves player and you could crater hoof them on turn three, and then lands looks terrible.
For sure.
But there's Esper Stoneblade. There's possibly a Jeskai variant out there now. All right?
Yeah.
Card that we haven't heard from in forever in Legacy is Standstill. Standstill becomes very real in this meta. And maybe that's in a Stoneblade shell. I doubt it.
Yeah.
It could be something that's slower than that. But, you know, it might even be a Standstill Mentor deck. I mean, Monastery Mentor hasn't made any kind of a splash in Legacy, which is weird. I mean, it's just crazy, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's only in Miracles,
it's only
right?
In Miracles,
I see it,
yeah.
Yeah, you see a 2/3 of in Miracles, so.
But when I was brewing Esper Mentor, I could not fashion a version of it to beat Miracles, like, at all. And it's probably pretty good against a lot of the field. For example, if you can resolve a Mentor or a Standstill with a Mentor against Shardless, like, I don't think they can do it. Like, I don't think they can beat that, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of good stuff here. Things that are negatively, or, I mean, let me go back. So control. So there was a blue-white-red Delver deck, so maybe this is more of a tempo build, that played Stoneforge Mystics. I don't know if you ever messed around or saw that deck.
I played that, actually. Yeah, the Jeskai aggro is really what it's called, but yeah.
Yeah, and again, that might end up being pretty good against the field. We might even see the return of, dare I say, Rug Delver.
Oh, that'd be great. I love that deck. It should be back, right? Some threshold, yeah.
Maybe. Like, here's the thing. So right now, as it's currently configured, Grixis is better, right? Because you have Young Pyromancer and all these other things. But let's pretend for a second that lands becomes the best deck, or Storm becomes more prevalent. Well, suddenly Rug Delver becomes a really good option because it's harder for them to interact with, right? Cabal Therapy is really good against Miracles. It's really terrible against lands, right?
Sure.
But again, we might also not see anything with lands because it's just such a hard deck to get your hands on, both physically and online. So decks that stand to lose a lot. Obviously, Miracles. Let's Duh.
It's done. Yeah. Yeah.
It's done. Bye bye. Any kind of big ramp deck. So like a Cloud Post deck, Ancient Tomb decks. I would put even Eldrazi in this. You actually lose one of your best matchups. And especially if you're Eldrazi and suddenly there are a lot of fair decks out there, your deck gets a lot worse. And if things play out a certain way, Wasteland actually gets a lot better in this meta, which means Eldrazi gets a lot worse.
Sure. Yeah, that's true.
I actually think Blood Moon is actually much better in this meta as well. Mm-hmm. Decks like Nykvid and Painter, I don't think, like, I think they'll kind of net neutral. They're very tier two right now anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But they could actually see something, like, they could actually find something that would work in that place of a top. The big loser, I think, in this, now tell me what you think of this, Cameron, is Sneak and Show.
Okay, I want to hear your reasons.
So, Sneak and Show traditionally has a pretty decent matchup against Miracles. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you're able to just go off before they get their lockdown, you can actually play through a lock. And a lot of times, mm-hmm. you know, the only combo deck that had the counter magic to interact was Sneak and Show, right? Mm-hmm. The problem with Sneak and Show is if there is, and I want to say it was Jerry on Leaving a Legacy, but somebody said this, if you have a clock and any kind of disruption on Sneak and Show, that is their biggest problem. Mm-hmm. So if you have a Thalia and a Knight of the Reliquary down, like, that is a huge problem for them, right? Yeah. Or if you have, I'm trying to think, like, Delver.
Caracas plus anything, right?
Yeah. Delver plus Daze plus Force. Huge problem for them. And so this, I mean, Sneak Attack, first of all, just playing Sneak Attack with counter backup usually was pretty good against Miracles because the only four in their deck was Jace generally, mm-hmm. right? So they had to be able to hit a Jace or force it without you doing anything back, which, good luck. And from that point, you could usually, you know, sneak in whatever it is that you need.
Sure.
But again, like, you look at all these other decks, Combo Elves, Storm, Death and Taxes, Maverick. I don't want to be in the Sneak and Show into that matchup ever. Maybe Combo mm-hmm. Elves, maybe, but that feels really 50-50. Mm-hmm. Storm, no thanks. Right? Death and Taxes, no thanks, especially with the printing of Containment Priest. Ugh. Right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think Sneak and Show is going to lose a lot of value here. Like, the decks that they naturally prey on are gone. And the one that I'm kind of twisting in the wind a little bit on is Grixis Delver. I don't know if that deck is just straight up good enough or if it was just that good against, you know, Miracles. Because my experience playing Stoneblade is I had a great matchup against Grixis Delver.
Yeah, if you can, I mean, you got counter magic. I mean, they're playing a little bit more with Daze normally, but I mean, just the backup of Jit. I mean, Jit is just so powerful on its own against like all those like 1/1 creatures that if you have that, so long, they're done. Yeah.
Yeah, multiple times against Grixis Delver, when I would resolve a Batterskull, they would just scoop up their cards.
Hmm, yeah.
You know? So, any other thoughts on the Legacy bans? I feel like I've been going on for a while here, but there's much analysis.
It's neat. I mean, like, this is like therapeutic, right? I mean, we've been like pent up with this kind of like desire now for at least a good year and a half. I think we've been talking about the banning of top. So it feels good. Feels good. I like it.
Yeah, and so many cards get better. Daze is a much better card now. Wasteland mm-hmm. is a much better card. Stifle, I think you could argue, is a better card. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot going on here. But don't worry, guys. Brainstorm is still pretty stinking good, right?
Yeah, and they're still preordained. I mean, like, Miracles could be good enough with just, like, that and some sort of, like, Snapcaster Brainstorm thing, right? I mean, yeah, there's, I don't know.
There's a million things that can keep it around.
Yeah.
It's just not going to be the tier one. And like I said, if you want a tier one control deck, you know, build Esper Mentor or Esper Stoneblade or any of the other decks that you could possibly build with your hundreds of dollars worth of dual lands. Mm-hmm. Like, go pick up the $10 rares. I don't know. Like, it just seems silly to me. Yeah,
totally.
Okay, hey. There are other formats in this world, Cameron. Did you know that?
I don't care. I'm done. See ya.
You know what? That's been pretty much the thought on standard.
Okay, before we say anything, I am super excited for standard. Like, I really am. If Amonkhet is any indication of, like, what limited is, yeah, sign me up for standard. I'm actually interested enough now that I think I might build a standard deck again. So, yeah.
So, you're not upset that Felidar Guardian didn't get banned? You're not upset that... Because I think you might have a different perspective than a lot of the people on Twitter, right?
I am walking in blind. Yes, I am not a standard player right now. I haven't been for the past year, essentially. So, yeah, I don't know how oppressive Heart of Kieran really is.
I believe Four Color Saheeli has passed it in the overall rankings. But,
okay.
Hey, call a spade a spade. Those are the two best decks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Neither got touched, and here's what I think happened. I think there's been a lot of people not playing standard after the... I mean, we always jokingly call it the Reflector Mage ban.
Yeah, Reflector Gate.
Reflector Gate. Because it felt so unnecessary, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, hey, Emrakul or Smuggler's Copter, like, I don't want to rehash all this. But suffice to say, it was a pretty big shock to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, WotC showed up and they were like, yo, look, we're going to be really aggressive with standard bans. And so I think a lot of guys like you and I were like, so tell me about this modern format you guys are, you know, like.
Frontier? What?
Well, and again, yeah, exactly. Because we didn't want to be in a position. And again, it's not that, I hate to make it sound financial. It's just a common sense thing, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not like, okay, my Emrakuls are worthless. So now I'm eating, you know, all savor beans and water every night for dinner or something, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But what it is like, I just felt however much money evaporate out of my collection, my deck kind of evaporated. Why do I care to play this mm-hmm. format? And I didn't feel like it was broken, right? And now that we're in this broken format, in theory, it feels like they're doing nothing. And you're getting a lot of people going, well, time out. What the heck? this card is way more oppressive than the stuff you banned before. What are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, Cameron, the answer lies in your enthusiasm to go back into play standard. Because right. I think what would happen is if they banned another round of cards, let's say they banned four cards from standard, your attitude would be what?
Like, ooh, how's that modern format?
Right? Yeah. It's all about consumer confidence, not about the quality of the game. Agreed?
Yeah. Yeah, and, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
And so, like, I'm sorry, Cameron, baseball season started, so I've got to use these baseball analogies, right?
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
So there's only so many pitchers on a baseball team, right?
Okay.
And sometimes they're running low. Like, guys, like, they've had too many innings, whatever. And so sometimes a team can be losing really badly, and they just leave the pitcher out there to get drilled, like, for other team to score runs off of them. So that way they don't tire out the rest of their team. Right.
Okay.
And in baseball, the expression is, quote, wearing one, right? As in to wear a black eye.
Okay.
And I absolutely 100% think that's what WotC's doing right now. They realize that banning cards was a catastrophic mistake, and so they're gonna wear one.
Your baseball metaphor actually works.
Everybody's gonna freaking hate this standard. They're gonna complain about it like crazy. The Pro Tour is going to suck, and you know what? In a year, everybody will forget about it, and they won't ban anything from Standard ever again, willy-nilly. They'll realize that was a bad, bad, bad idea, and Reflector Mage Gate will be a thing that you and I will mention that no one will remember. Sure. That's the hope, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I'm very lukewarm still about Standard. Like, do I go and buy a Saheeli package and, like, drop a ton of money only for it to get banned? I think I should just play the Dynavolt Tower deck. That feels the safest, right? Nobody's going to ban Dynavolt Tower.
Yeah. No, no. Nobody, right?
Right? Come on,
actually,
guys.
Actually, they will. I think that's exactly what we were saying 2 days before Reflector Mage actually got banned. Nobody's going to do that. They'd be crazy.
Dude, clearly we're just not over the Reflector Mage ban.
Oh, like, no. No.
That I am like a teenage boy, and that is like the girl that got away. Like, I don't even want to talk about her anymore. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm that upset.
Let it go, Curtis. Let it go.
I need to let it go, right? Instead of 500 days of summer, it's 500 days of Reflector Mage, right?
Yeah. That was awful.
Hold on. I got to Photoshop up a movie cover real quick.
I was going to say, yeah, dad joke.
Anyway, last few things I want to talk about, Cameron. Iconic Masters. That's kind of under the radar this week.
Yeah.
I love how you go to the product page and it's a shadowy box, right?
Uh-huh.
What could be in the box? Could it be magic cards? And I know this is kind of something that you were even pretty well, like you weren't very aware of just because, you know, I just kind of showed up earlier this week. We didn't get a chance to talk about it. So what do you hope is an Iconic Masters? And what do you think of a master set that isn't associated with a format?
Yeah, yeah. So I really feel like they should put in these like lands that produced two colors and they come into play untapped. They don't deal you any damage. I think that would be just really, really great to put in it. I think they're called dual lands. I think that'd be really awesome. But, you know, it's kind of weird. It's cryptic that they say the last 23 years of Magic history. And, I'm not that great at math, but I think Magic's been around a little bit longer than that. So, obviously, we're not talking about anything from Unlimited before, you know. But, I don't know. It gives me hope that maybe, just maybe, we'll get stuff like Rashad and Port. We'll get... you know, some of these cards that just need to get back out into the wild. It's great that, like, Caracas was reprinted, right? And we've seen the price of that drop to sub-100. So in my hope, it would be just more of those legacy, vintage, and now modern staples that kind of justify another reprinting. Maybe Engineered Explosives will be on this. Maybe some... you know, some other cards kind of like that. So that's my hope, is that we'll just see some more of the cards that weren't printed in the last Modern Masters, Eternal Masters, or whatever. We'll see something like that.
Maybe Aaron the Relentless with some new artwork.
It's about time, right? Yeah.
Though, I mean, if we could just real talk here, when we're talking about the greatest red card ever printed, Aaron the Relentless, going full art on that, like, would be my favorite thing ever, right? Because we've gone for years seeing the iconic face, but not the rest of them. So just putting that out there. I bet he's got a dope blue robe.
I was going to say, it's just a wizard's robe. So, I mean, yeah.
Well, hey. Aaron would be so much less of a hassle if only he were mortal. Am I right? Mm. Now, here's the thing, man, with Iconic Masters. Like, hey, I feel like you and I have the least beef with these reprint sets. Like, every time they come up, people are like, oh, here we go. They're going to run out of cards to reprint. Well, guys, they see it as a business opportunity, and stop acting like anyone else owns the rights to the cards. They own the rights to the cards. I think any business person ever would walk into WotC and go, these cards are worth what? And you're not selling them?
Yeah.
What is
yeah.
wrong with you? Right? And again, I mean, here comes all the, oh, it's just like Chronicles, when, you know, half these people were 2 years old when Chronicles was released and they have no idea what they're talking about. The truth is, guys, Chronicles is a different world. And I wish I could just teleport those people back to 1996 and they could see the non-competitive environment of Magic and understand the difference, right? It's not Beanie Babies anymore. You know, it's not Pogs.
Yeah.
And it's we're trying to feed a competitive, quote, esport. You gotta meet the demand. You just have to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, it makes sense from profit. And the rank and file players, the guys that I know that are not, quote, MTG Finance, love reprints, right? They love them. So maybe that's just you and me. But I mean, cool. Show me a nice Shivan Dragon. I'll be a happy camper.
Right, yeah.
I actually would like full art extensions on classic art. So like, give me a Shivan Dragon that is like full art of the original artwork. That would be my like favorite thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know. Last thing I want to mention, Cameron.
Okay.
So I don't know if you know this, but WotC pulled out of E3.
Oh. I'm actually, I didn't know this, and I'm actually now a little disappointed.
Yeah, and look, there might be some industry reasons. There's a lot going on with whether, you know, because E3 became like a consumer show this year too, mm-hmm. and some companies have been kind of not very happy with that and have decided, you know, and before that E3 was very employment oriented, and then some companies have just been like not going to E3 but opening like in the convention center across the street, and
yeah.
So there's a lot of like businessy things, video gamey things that I want to get into, but Hasbro is now having HasCon. Okay, where it's not just Magic, it's for Transformers, you know, bronies, whoever's showing up can get together and celebrate the Hasbro brand. Or I'm sure they have a band too.
I was going to say, yeah.
Here's what's weird. Here is what's super strange about HasCon. Where do you think it is, Cameron? Like, if you were to hold a convention to celebrate My Little Pony's Transformers, G.I. Joe, Magic the Gathering, where would you go?
West Coast. I mean, California, probably in the southern half. Maybe San Diego.
Good guesses. Maybe Vegas, right?
Oh, yeah. Vegas would be a great option. Yeah.
But instead, they've decided to go with that international convention hub of Rhode Island. And
that's as questionable as Kansas City and or Des Moines.
Right? Who lives there? It's like living in the middle of Missouri, right?
Hey, Pat Ugalo, go.
Right. I think he lives in Massachusetts. I don't know. Well, all the states are like the same.
It's like 10 miles away, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. They don't live the Midwest experience where you and I live close and it's 4 hours away, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I just thought that was, because I was like, oh, HasCon. You know, maybe that's something Cameron and I could finagle our way to go to, because we suck at being in the community, like are just terrible at it.
Yeah.
But maybe we could go, you know? And then it was like, because I thought, oh, maybe it'll be California. I could talk to the wife into going to San Diego. I'm not talking the wife into going to Providence, Rhode Island, sadly. I'm sure it's lovely.
Yeah.
Especially in September. I bet fall up there is amazing. But guys, it's weird that it's like on the HasCon website, it's just like giant Transformers thing, giant My Little Pony. And then there is this little kid holding up a Liliana. And it says above that, for families. So...
in
pretty
Providence,
weird.
Rhode Island. They're just playing a joke on us, right? Like, this is all just a joke.
I don't know, man.
The CEO of Hasbro is just going to laugh at you when you show up, right?
Well, who knows, man? Maybe the CEO of Hasbro lives in Rhode Island, for example. I don't know.
Maybe he needs a commute. Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, Rhode Island, I've never been there. I'm sure it's great.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But,
dude, no. You know what? Everybody always poo-poos on the Midwest. Always. Rhode Island, it's your turn, okay?
Well, I mean, whenever I think of conventions, I always think of, like, Indianapolis, Ohio area. You know, it seems like there's always a bunch of cons there because it's always an easy flight.
Sure.
But whatever. Anyway, Cameron, we have rambled on and on this episode. We've talked about the bannings. We've talked about Rhode Island. Anything else you want to play us off with here?
I mean, I'm kind of sad that I didn't get to talk about my limited tournament, which you actually predicted almost perfectly. I went 1-1 drop, went shopping for V-necks, and then actually watched an indie movie. So yeah, closer to truth than you could say. But I will say that this limited format, it is so much better than my very, very limited experience with... Kaladesh and whatever other set that was, but I'm really digging Amonkhet, really digging it. I love that. It seems to be a return to form, and yeah. We'll probably talk about that next week. So
we'll definitely dig in next week, man. So anyway, I know you need to edit this thing, put in all of your potential Katy Perry songs. I don't know, but Cameron, if someone would like to get a hold of you, where can they do so?
That's all on Twitter, @Cameron_McCoy.
And I'm @CurtisNow. Our official show feed is @SpikeFeedMTG. We will check you guys next week.